From WGCU, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Tomato variety has boomed at grocery stores. Not only are there Camparis and Romas, we can choose from Ugly Ripe, dozens of heirloom varieties, and even Cabernet Grape. Some say it's in response to the lack of flavor in the common and least expensive Florida beefsteak tomato. So what happened to its flavor? We'll find out how it was bred out and talk with a scientist about getting that flavor back in. We'll also talk with a local tomato grower about the numerous heirlooms ripening right now here in Southwest Florida. Plus, we'll talk with two classically trained violinists from South Florida who are putting a pop culture spin on stringed instruments. They are Black Violin. And we'll have the local band Hot Buttered Nuggets, who will offer us a sample of their brand of vintage swing music. Both will be part of the Twisted Strings concert event this weekend. But first, the news. Welcome back. I'm Julie Glenn. Two classically trained violinists have come together to create the band Black Violin, and they're in the middle of a tour in which they'll play more than 30 cities across the U.S. They'll be here in Fort Myers this weekend at WGCU's Twisted Strings concert event. Here's a quick preview of their music. That song is called Runnin', and we are joined by Kev Sylvester and Wilner Baptiste, who are Black Violin. They're on the phone because they're on the road. Thanks for taking the time out to talk with us today.
No problem.
Thanks for having us.
How did you guys get started? I understand you were friends in high school, and then you went to different colleges?
Yeah, we met in high school, first day of high school in orchestra class. So if you can imagine, you know, we just met with violins in our hand. Actually, we were both violists at the time. So first day of high school, we met with violas in our hand in orchestra. So it's pretty poetic that it ended up this way.
Do you both play the violin now?
Right now, I switched the violin because Black Viola didn't have the same ring to it. And so I play violin, and Will plays viola. But we both could interchange and play either one. But right now on stage, and you know, every time you hear us on albums, I'm normally the violinist, and Will is the violist.
Oh, okay. So, what's the difference between a violin and viola for those of us that don't know?
Well, the difference really is kind of like if you're a vocalist, the violin is like the soprano, and the viola is like the alto. You know?
Okay.
And the viola is like a fifth lower. Violins and guitars, so that's the, you know, that's the most simplest way to kind of like tell the difference.
So, Kev, can you tell me when you first started playing?
I first started playing in the fifth grade. You know, my mom made me do it because I was just sort of hanging around the wrong people, and she wanted me to meet new friends, you know, have new experiences, find something to occupy my time. So she put me into a Saturday morning program, and I liked it. It wasn't something that I was in love with, but I liked it. And the teacher at the time was she allowed me to audition to a performing arts middle school called Parkway Middle School here in South Florida, and then I went to a performing arts middle school, and then I auditioned and got into the performing arts high school, and that's where both Will and I met in high school. So that was sort of the beginning stages for me. But it was all public school, no lessons, nothing like that. Just everyday second period, we had Bach and Mozart and Beethoven, and, you know, we had teachers that cared and pushed us and told us that, you know, if we really worked at this, this would be, you know, a full scholarship to college if we wanted it to be, and they were right, because it was.
And those teachers that care really do make a difference. Will, did you
That's
start...
everything.
Yeah, and Will, did you start at the young age, too, in fifth grade?
No, I actually started in eighth grade. I was 14 at the time.
Uh-huh.
You know, I started kind of late, but I really kind of fell in love with it in the beginning. And made me feel special, made me feel different. And 22 years later, I'm still playing it.
Yeah, so being different must have definitely been the thing there, doing classical music. You both started by learning classical music. So when did you get the idea to add the modern twist to it?
Well, we'd always, you know, been in love with hip hop. You know, we grew up in, you know, in neighborhoods that was just very, really hip hop centric. So we were constantly listening to hip hop, and we also are Caribbean. So we grew up listening to Bob Marley and Soca and Calypso music as well. So, our influences are different from what we studied. So we were really heavily influenced in our community with urban music, whether it's hip hop or R&B or, you know, Michael Jackson or Bob Marley. But we studied classical music really intensely in our schools and, in high school. Even in high school, we had 4 or 5 classes of classical music per day of different types of classes. So, you know, when you study it in that level and then, but you're influenced from a different place, you know, for us, we just wanted to carefully put the two together so that whether you like hip hop or popular music or whether you like classical music, this can be something that you would be into, you know, and it can bridge a gap and bring people together, so to speak. So I think we really knew early on that we could blend the two together very seamlessly, and I think it was really just recognizing when people reacted to when we did it, that was really the test for us. Is like once we recognized, oh wow, when we play violin on these hip hop songs, people go crazy for it. How can we do this at a higher level? And that just kind of sparked us and kept us trying to push to, you know, to open the genre out.
So when you're listening to Calypso or Bob Marley or something, does your training in classical music kind of inform how you perceive that music? I mean, do you see different like tonal changes and things from a more classical perspective?
Absolutely. I think just being in that world, classical world, it just, you hear other music differently. You know, I just can remember just listening to just some of the popular music at that time, you're able to kind of like dissect it a little bit and kind of see the chord changes because you're studying classical music. So it, you know, it kind of, both genres kind of helped us out, you know, that regard.
It's interesting how the two very different genres can kind of inform one another, and then you came together to create this music. And did you come back together after college?
Yeah, after college we got back together, and we moved in together. We had a house in South Florida, and we built a studio in it, and our idea was to make beats. You know, we wanted to be the next Pharrell. You know, we wanted to be the next big hip-hop producer, and we wanted to use kind of, you know, what we learned as far as, you know, progressions and things in classical music and bring that into hip-hop. So we would just be making beats all the time, and when we make beats for whoever, you know, after, you know, they listen to our beats, we'll come out and play a violin, and then they'll be like, wait a minute, you guys are playing violin on these beats? It doesn't even make sense. I've never heard anything like that. And I think that was sort of how we kept trying to push the envelope and to explore what music can really do and what emotions it can bring out of people. This is when we realized that we were doing something different and people were responding to it.
And do you feel like there are stereotypes that you're breaking down as you tour the country about classical music, hip-hop music, and also about race?
Absolutely. You know, from the beginning, you know, since we started playing, we were breaking stereotypes. And it's funny, it's bigger than just us. You know, and we're also just bringing people together, the people at our shows. That's why we call our show the Unity Tour. We literally bring people from all sorts of race and cultures together. And they're in one room, and we're just all enjoying great music at the same time, having a great experience at the same time. And not only that, we're breaking stereotypes, but we're, you know, uniting everyone as well.
And your most recent album that you're promoting on tour right now is called Stereotypes, and I'd like for us to take a listen to the title track of that.
similar things with a particular characteristic are the same.
Stereotype, an unfair and untrue belief
that many people have about other people or things.
Stereotype, a standardized mental picture that is held in.
Pueden predecir el comportamiento de una persona basada en su raza o nivel social. Estereotipo.
Just because I'm 6'2", 260 pounds doesn't mean you're supposed to be afraid of me. I feel like when I walk into an elevator and there's like four or five, you know, different other people in there, they're thinking, let's see what this guy's going to do. Let me like double check. Maybe they're not afraid, but they're on notice. In a way, it's like, you know, where in one sense I wish that it didn't exist and I wish that I didn't sense, you know, that they were threatened just by my presence without even knowing who I am. Although I wish that it didn't exist, I'm kind of glad for it because now it gives me like a goal, it gives me something to like try to debunk. And like the reason I smile on stage is because I know I'm completely crushing people's perceptions of not only what violin can do or what music could possibly sound like, but also of what a black man is capable of.
That is the song Stereotypes by Black Violin, kind of a spoken word style there. Whose voice do we hear on that?
That's my voice at the end, and it was taken actually from a video we were shooting in the studio at the very end of like the album process. We were shooting a video, and we just kind of, you know, as we're thinking about the idea of stereotypes and the album stereotypes, we went around the room, and it was, you know, me, Will, a couple producers, engineers, and just asked everyone simply what stereotype do they feel, you know, what do they feel they're stereotyped the most for? And that was just my response, you know, and it was just, you know, just shooting a little video, kind of a candid thing, and then the producer of the record, Eli Wolf, heard it and thought that might be cool to spice it in, and it did. It was really cool, and it worked out. And but, you know, that's just kind of how I think about it and how I feel. And, you know, and it's just, you know, a song that really brings it. It's really about making awareness to it and just letting people understand, like, these things do exist. And we shouldn't necessarily judge a book by its cover because, you know, you don't expect us to play violin. There are things that people can do that no one's expecting.
Exactly. I think it's a really interesting, pretty poignant song there. I really enjoyed that. And I wanted to tell you both, thank you for talking with us today. Kev Sylvester and Will Batiste from Black Violin, thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for having us.
And we'll look forward to seeing you this weekend. Black Violin is the headliner at the WGCU concert Twisted Strings, which is happening on Saturday. Another band that will be there is here in the studio with us today, Hot Buttered Nuggets. I cannot say the name of the band more often. I just love it. Doug and Ruby Everton are the Nuggets in question. Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for having us.
Now, you guys play vintage American music. Is that correct?
Yeah, I like to call it vintage Americana style, hokum, Tin Pan Alley style. That's the styles that come to mind.
All right, give us a taste of that. What's it sound like?
All right. Thank you.
of Arizona, and your love belongs to me. Each night, oh honey, when you are asleep, I spy for the bed into your tent. I will creep, yes, yes, long as the stars so above. I will lead my way to love. We're gonna root this land, or just you and me, hot mama, because I'm the sheik.
That was just two human beings in the room with me, and I did not contribute anything musically to that. I just want to be clear. There's a banjo and a washtub.
Correct.
And some of the most unique sounds I've ever heard. So what is that? I mean, you're kind of doing a little bit of like beatbox a little in there, some drum sounds, and then all the horn sounds.
Yeah, that song features a lot of them. Some people call it vocalism. It's just finding out at an early age what you can do with your voice besides talking and singing. And so impersonating horns and the different instruments was something that I got interested in around 9 or 10 years old and started doing that.
So what horn – okay, can you give me like a horn? Like what horns are they?
Well, I started off with the trumpet or cornet. And then the trumpet with a harmon mute in it, or a plunger mute. And then more of a French horn or trombone sound is a little deeper. You know, just more something like that. And then the rest of them is the tuba, banjo, bass, and drums that's also featured on some of the tunes.
The tuba. You're just sitting here just like doing this like it's no big deal.
Yeah, I've been doing it since I was 10 years old. I started impersonating artists that I fell in love with and got inspired by, and then recently just added the tuba because I like that sound. It's a very Dixieland kind of a sound or something, and I always enjoyed that kind of music when I was a kid.
So who were some of your the artists that inspired you?
Well, I have to say Louis Armstrong.
Yeah, I heard that 100%.
Louis Prima, the Ink Spots, the Mills Brothers, and more recently Tom Waits and some of the new artists, nowadays. But mostly some of the original artists I heard on Disney movies that I wanted to find out who the voices were for mm-hmm. those, like Phil Harris and people.
Who was Phil Harris?
Phil Harris was the voice for Baloo the Bear in The Jungle Book. And also Little John in Robin Hood with Walt Disney's Robin Hood. And it's just that voice. He sounded kind of like John Wayne a little bit, but musical.
And then the accompanist, this is Ruby with a washtub?
It's called a washtub bass, also known as a gut bucket bass.
Okay, so describe it. I'm looking at it. It's really a metal washtub.
Right. You can go to Home Depot and get a No. 3 washtub. And I've got a closet rod and a Venetian blind cord. And it just, when you play it, depending on how you pull the pull back to tighten the string and where you hit it, it gives you that deep bassy sound.
Can you do like a couple quick notes for me? So. And you have no markings on the closet rod?
Correct.
So you just kind of know instinctively where you need to go?
Yeah, I kind of listen to Doug playing, and I kind of play it by ear and stuff like that. So I have – I mean, if you're – I haven't been able to really pull the notes in certain places on the pole because depending on where you – the tension you put on the pole and stuff like that, you can get the notes out of it. But I kind of play it by ear with what he's playing.
Is it important what kind of pole? It has to be wooden, I'm guessing.
Well, you know, I tried an aluminum pole one time. Didn't work as well, but the wood pole works very well.
I think it kind of has more of a deeper maybe resonance.
Yes, it does. Guess.
And then the Venetian blind cord is key.
Oh, key. Just key.
It's that thickness, that perfect thickness.
It is.
I think it's purple.
Yes, this one is purple. I did have just a white one, but we changed it out a couple weeks ago to a purple one. It's got a little bit more stretch to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How long have you guys been playing together?
Oh, gosh. I started playing with Doug back in 1998. He started teaching me how to play with this. So I played with him off and on over the years. And since we moved to Florida about a year ago, I've been playing with him for the last approximately 10 months.
Yeah. Do you have something else that you'd like to play for us?
Sure. Well, here's something.
I love it. I can't hear enough of it.
Here's one old Ink Spots tune called... I usually play this for Valentine's Day for lovers everywhere. You call Your Feet's Too Big. No meat on my bones, no sign of a pot. I look in the mirror and I think I'm hot. Been to the dentist, had my molar lizard. Boys, but my gal won't listen to your feet to be. She don't want you to call your feet to be. Mad at you call your feet to be. Hate you call your feet to be. Come on, Brother D. I'll just pass my insurance test. Everything matches, including my red vest. As my gal standing, what she say? This is the answer that I give him. Don't get on your feet to be. She don't want you cold your feet to be. Mad at you cold your feet to be. Hate you cold your feet to be. Come on now, Charlie. Honey, I like you cold. You show is nice. Ooh, you got everything. Take me to paradise. I like your face. And I like that rig. But, ooh, baby, them things are too big. Feet to be. She don't want you cold your feet to be. Mad at you cold your feet to be. Hate you cause your feet do be. What about you, Brother Hopper? Yeah. Now up in Harlem at a table for two, they done set four of us. Me, your big feet, and you. From your ankles up, you sure is sweet. But from your ankles down, you have too much feet. Feet do be. She don't want you cause your feet do be. Mad at you cause your feet do be. Hate you cause your feet do be. A cush foot, flat a foot, slew foot, flat foot.
I gotta ask where the name came from, Hot Buttered Nuggets.
Well, a friend of mine in Maryland, we were doing a swing dance, and we got hungry one night, and he was our drummer. He says, let's go out and get some hot buttered nuggets or some lamb riblets or something. He come up with a bunch of different kinds of funny names for something to eat. And, some niblets and some giblets of some kind, some pork nuggets. So hot buttered nuggets just kind of stuck. I thought that'd be good for an old-timey swing band kind of a band.
I think it's great. And in fact, earlier my producer and I were joking. We're like, that sounds like something you might ask for late at night as a college student. You just would like some hot buttered nuggets.
Absolutely.
And Ruby, you said that's led to some confusion with your band, with your van?
It did. We put Doug put the name on the bus, and he would go through toll plazas, and they would ask what we're selling, what were hot buttered nuggets. And I said, well, we got to put the name band on there. So I think that kind of cleared things up a little bit.
Does every song include horn? Well, not horn, but
most of them do. It's it, you know, with the horns, the jazz groups, they had a lot of horns in the day and everything. So, yeah, most of them do. Some of them, like the Ink Spots or slow songs or something, might have a little bit of saxophone in it, and then other than that, just lyrics.
Yeah, and then you have the lyrics. So the banjo, I'm no banjo expert, nor am I a musician. What? Tell me about your instrument.
Well, this is a six-string banjo. It's called a Boston Six. It's a six-string guitar banjo, basically. So a lot of banjo pickers are saying, he's cheating. He's playing a guitar that's got a head for a banjo but the neck of a guitar. So that's about it. I play the guitar also in the show with on certain tunes that sound better with guitar, like the old Hawaiian stuff and the slow things like the Ink Spots. And,
you ever throw in a ukulele or anything?
Yeah, we got a video of a ukulele playing with, you know, with us, with her, the washtub, a ukulele, a saxophone, me, and drums. You know, that's when we had more people in the group.
So the concert this weekend, what can people expect? Is it going to be you two?
Yeah, us two. I got the hi-hat that I normally use, and I'm going to have the guitar. On the electric guitar on some of the tunes.
Mm-hmm. And how long do you think your set's going to be?
Oh, several hours. No.
Yeah, we're going to be there playing nonstop for hours.
No, just however long the set. I think 35, 40 minutes, whatever it is, whenever they give us the cut signal.
Yeah. Do you know anybody else who plays this kind of music?
Not offhand. I've researched it, and the only people were the Mills Brothers when they first got started, before they got into what the Mills Brothers do, and they did the horn voices, the noises with their voice. But other than that, it's the guy from Police Academy and Bobby McFerrin, and that's the only people that I know who does something other than just sing and play. There's a lot of, like you said, beatbox. There was a beatbox champion from Berlin, Germany, seen us at Berlin, Maryland. They were looking at all the towns called Berlin. Uh-huh. And they had their video set up there and everything, and they introduced themselves. I'm the world, you know, champion beatboxer and everything, and we'd like to check out your show. So they watched us. I played a song specially for him, which featured all the instruments, the tuba and the drums and everything in it. And the jaws were dropped. The eyes were everybody was
bugged,
you know,
out.
They says, we've never seen anything like this particularly before. But they recorded it and everything, and they enjoyed it a lot.
It's really fun. It's you can't not tap your toe to this. So
yeah.
We are running low on time. I'm going to ask if you have anything you can play us out with. Is that a possibility?
Sure.
I'm going to say my goodbyes for today. We're going to leave it there. I want to thank you for coming in, too. Our show today was produced by Matthew Smith and directed by Richard Chin Kui, with technical help from A.J. Leonard. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.
I went down to Zangin. I saw my baby there. She was all stretched out on a long white table, so cold, so sweet, so fair. Let her go, God bless her. For long as she may be, yeah, she can search this wide world over, but she ain't never gonna find a sweeter man than me. Yeah, down old Joe's bar room, on the corner of the square. Yeah, they were serving the drinks as usual, and the usual crowd was there.
We're up.
Is that off?
That was so great.
Yeah, I realized.
These are awesome.
Looking at the clock above her head, you know.
Well, oh, we have a couple more.